The Joe Mason Show is on in 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1.
Welcome to the Phil Mason Show. I am so happy to have you here. We're just enjoying life, enjoying the shows, enjoying talking about NBA basketball, and I hope you're enjoying it too. And from the emails and the reaction, I can sense that you are. Today, you're going to really enjoy the show because we're going to be all over the place talking NBA basketball for the entire hour. And when I say we, my friend Mr. Griswold is here. From SLCDunk.com, please welcome my friend, their managing editor, Omar, is in the house. Omar, I'm glad to have you here. It's been a long time.
Yeah, definitely, and thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. And for you children out there who don't know what that reference is, please watch some National Lampoon movies, Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation and all the other ones. It's hilarious. It's good for you. Good laughs, family laughs.
It's very good for you. Beverly D'Angelo, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. The places I could go with that.
Our minds are still working, and apparently we're still 13. So.
And that's fair enough. Yeah. I had a crush on her, dude, when I was a kid.
Yeah, no, it's always fun to go back down those memories. And just to close that off, I had a lot of traveling trouble even getting to my destination for Christmas and coming back. So that's why he called me Mr. Griswold, because he always had a few stops along the way that were unplanned.
Yeah, folks, you know the show that we missed last week?
Yeah, see, that it's my bad, or the TSA's bad, or the baggage handler's bad, or Mother Nature's bad.
But I would say a combination of everything except you. It wasn't your fault.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Like, of course, it's never me.
Never you. It can never be you, and it shouldn't be you. It wasn't your fault that the baggage
like that
got
one,
lost.
Exactly. That one time I had a big knife in my hand luggage by mistake. Yeah.
Oops. They put you on the tag list, did they?
Well, yeah, I've been on there for many years. It's great.
I know, because I actually am on that list. The problem is I always deal with one-way tickets from tennis. And when I coach, I get one-way tickets because I don't know when I'm coming back.
And that looks fishy.
And if you have a one-way ticket, finito. They stop you. It's amazing. And people go, geez, you don't look like a terrorist. I say, well, you never know. That's neither here nor there. You know, one time, I'll tell you a funny story before we start. I was leaving McCarran Airport in Vegas.
Right.
And I got just destroyed by this guy, like six love. Really ticked off. And they were, this was still at the time when you could take your tennis rackets as a carry-on. And I put them through the, I didn't want to put them through the metal detector. And I said to them, don't worry, there's nothing in here that's explosive. Trust me. Oh, Maron. They had luckily for me, I'd gone through there so many times because I had lived there that they didn't call out the SWAT team, but there were police coming after me and everything. I was like, oh, gosh. You can't joke about this. I wasn't making a joke. I was being honest. There was no firepower in that bag.
Well, if you showed them the box score of your match, maybe they would have believed you. But
I don't think they had a box score. I don't think there was enough time for them to get the pencil sharpened. It was that quick. But Utah, the Jazz. Jazz.
Yeah. Speaking of firepower,
lots of firepower there. Gordon Hayward is slowly sinking.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, if you drafted any Utah Jazz players for your fantasy team this year, I'm really sorry, guys.
Well, Derek Favors has been okay.
Yeah, like that's what some of the other national commentators were saying, is that we kind of expected more from him this season. But the fact that he did still make a big jump. He's getting a double double. He's still getting a block and a half a game. He's passing a lot better than people ever expected out of him. But at the same time, you kind of feel like, well, he's barely getting a double-double. We would have liked it more if he was getting 15 points a game, maybe 11, 12 rebounds, be a little bit closer to that Tyson Chandler. But, you know, it's not happening. He seemed like he was on a higher trajectory. And that may be the rub for the majority of the players on the Utah Jazz this season. Like, they all felt like they were supposed to be on a higher trajectory than they currently are.
Well, they should be, actually. You know, this is on paper not a bad team, but they're showing signs of also being a young team, and they're making mistakes, and they're not playing with a lot of confidence. But Derek Favors had a pretty nice evening this week. I don't remember who it was against, but I had him in a daily fantasy league that I play.
Right.
And folks, if you get the opportunity, come over to philnasons.com or in the show notes over at SLC Dunk, there'll be a link where you can come and play at draftstreet.com, fantasy basketball for free on the Phil Nason Show. It's a great deal. It's a lot of fun. And you can win a couple $100. But needless to say, Favors had a pretty big night that night. I don't remember now who he was playing against, but he just did really well. Did you have
Yeah,
Milwaukee this week?
it was the Milwaukee
There you
Bucks.
go.
And
Bucks game.
like we have to say that, yeah, like he did have a 2010 game. You know, he was active on defense, but like Larry Sanders has just got back from an injury. So this is me cutting my own successes down. Like Favors had a really good game, but it's not like he was able to sustain that. I think the next game against the Lakers, he didn't do much. Yeah, against the Lakers, the next game, he had 11 points and 6 rebounds. Like 6 rebounds against this Lakers. He's not playing against AC Green and Kareem and all those guys. He's playing against Robert Sakra, you know.
And
Should
Jordan
do
Hill.
better than 6 rebounds.
And Jordan Hill.
Yeah, Jordan Hill's been a positive for the Lakers this year. I don't know if you have gotten a chance to discuss them much, but it's been a bad year for them as well. Jordan Hill did well. Paul Gasol had, you know, a throwback game in that game as well, which is funny because the Jazz beat up on the Lakers earlier last week, I think. So
Well, I
that
know,
was a
but
payback game.
that was a freaking monster game Gasol had. What do you go here? I'm looking at it from your website. Folks, you got to go over to slcdunk.com. Amar and his gang, they do this thing called the Downbeat. It's amazing. We're going to talk about that Bucks billboard in a second, too. How
Yeah,
they're around the
downbeat
Bucks thing.
six times a week.
6 times a week, folks. And it's not just Utah Jazz stuff either. But this stat line, this was a stuffer. 23 points, 17 rebounds. 8 assists, 3 blocks, and he shot 58%. If you had him on a roto league, on your roto team, you won that night because
And
he
the Lakers
stuffed
are trying to trade
stats.
this guy. They're trying to trade this guy. I don't know why.
Well, they'd say that every year, or I should say the media says that every year because
Right,
the
or it's
Lakers never
leaked
say
out everywhere.
anything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
It's
so
funny.
much crap. Just like the trade with supposed trade between the Los Angeles Clippers and
Yeah,
the New York
exactly.
Knicks, Carmelo Anthony for Blake Griffin. Are they silly?
That's not going to happen.
That'll never happen. Steve Parent, one of the things that he wanted to make very clear in his first appearance here in the summer, and no, Steve didn't quit coming on the show. Steve has a lot going on, and we can't hook up to record, but he will be here come playoff time. But anyway, he said, listen, the only way they're going to trade Blake Griffin is if they get a Kevin Durant or LeBron James. That's it. Perhaps I thought he said Derrick Rose too, maybe, but no. Somebody who I can't remember now. But needless to say, forget these rumors. A lot of them are just bull crap, useless, slow news day material for Twitter that just get
It's
blown up.
yeah, it's to make it look like people are actually working. There was an anonymous general manager who came out and said that, you know, these guys usually, like his colleagues, leave work at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and hardly do any work or take a lot of vacation times. General managers need to do the bare minimum in order to maintain their job. And I think that's what these rumors are there. Oh, well, he must be making a lot of calls if some people got a hold of this information, he may have floated the rumor himself that, oh, we actually talked, but they never did. And most of these guys just want to deny, deny, deny. Oh, we didn't talk, or we're not shopping this player. It's silly. And like you said, it amounts to nothing. But fans go crazy over it every year.
Well, they sure do. And you know what else what these rumors do, though, is they help us weed out the good websites and the good bloggers from the bad ones, because only the bad ones bite on this stuff. I got
I
into
think,
a big fight with a guy from Rant Sports. He's in my LinkedIn group, and it was not just over that. It was over the Spurs, about them being doomed because they lost some games. I said, dude, they don't even play 30 minutes a freaking night. I said, don't worry about the
exactly.
Spurs.
Or they'll play another competitor and sit out their top three players and
Or
still
and beat
almost
them.
win the game. Yeah,
Or they beat
exactly.
Golden State that. And that's the funny thing is they beat
Well, they
Golden State the
almost beat
night
the
they
Heat
lost.
the year before. Exactly.
But that's what it does. It gives these guys who don't know anything about the game and who are making what about 4 cents a blog post to have something to talk about, because otherwise they wouldn't have anything to talk about, really. But that's not really why you're here. Kendall Marshall, man, what is his story with the Lakers? He just blew up, and he's getting the opportunity of a lifetime, right?
Yeah, definitely it is. I think the main thing is that with him, there's no pressure. So if he has, two or three bad plays in one, in one quarter, it's not like he has to look behind his shoulder for the coach to pull him because the top three guys ahead of him are all injured right now. So I think that's probably the best experience for a younger player. He's been around the league for a while, but he had a pretty good college career as well. But at the NBA level, if you're in a situation where you can't do any bad, just play and play as hard as you can, good things are going to happen. And it's partly quite fortuitous that he's playing with Mike D'Antoni's offense, which has always been point guard centric. So it's a very good situation for the young player. And, he destroyed my Jazz, which isn't saying much, but I hope that he continues to get some burn, even if guys like Steve Nash, Steve Blake, and Jordan Farmar come back.
Those are good thoughts. And by the way, if you're playing fantasy basketball, Kendall Marshall's another guy you might want to keep your eye on. But back to the Utah Jazz. Big rumor out there. Another one I saw over at these weirdo websites, because they infiltrate these groups that I belong in. And you know me, I just cannot tolerate bad journalism. I hate that. And you're out there pretending to be national media and you promote this crap. But this is one that I thought was interesting, was Richard Jefferson for Andrew Bynum, and this kid says, don't do it. And I'm thinking, they're only going to waive him. What's the story with that? You heard anything
It's
about this?
I'm continuing to get updates on this even as we're recording right now. It seems to be a pretty significant thing. And either it's a significant thing only because the Cavaliers are trying to use this potential trade as leverage to get what they want with the currently stalled trade with the Lakers, and that trade was in principle Andrew Bynum for Pau Gasol. This trade, which is being floated around and being it's getting some validity because national writers seem to be suggesting that this trade is kind of close, and those are Woj with Yahoo Sports, and I'm forgetting the other person. He's also at Yahoo, so they may be collaborating a little bit. Even ESPN's Mark Stein had something on it, but Utah Jazz would be trading Richard Jefferson, who's a starter this year, playing close to 30 minutes a game, to the Cavaliers, who may want to upgrade their small forward position for Andrew Bynum, and Utah would then waive Bynum. Perhaps there would be a draft pick coming Utah's way, a second rounder. But Utah saves money, Cleveland saves money, and Cleveland gets a rotation player. That's kind of what this deal is all about. I don't know how likely it is. I felt it was only about 5% yesterday. But the more people talk about it, the more I almost get my hopes up.
Yeah, why not? You know what? Because you're not a big fan of Richard Jefferson. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't that give more playing time to Jeremy Evans?
it gives more playing time all around because Tyrone Corbin, for whatever reason, felt it was necessary to play all of these older guys in contract years. That's why Marvin Williams is starting at power forward. That's why Richard Jefferson is starting at small forward. If Richard Jefferson is no longer on the team, that means that there's 30 more minutes a game for everybody else. You'll see more Marvin Williams and Gordon Hayward at the three. Primarily, they're playing either at the two or at the four. That means Alec Burks may even start, a guy that we're both pretty high on. That also means more minutes at the three and the four for Jeremy Evans, and more minutes at the four for Enes Kanter. And those are the people who are actually on contract for successive years. And this is quite reminiscent to that one scene in the Moneyball movie where Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill come on in and try and explain to the manager that, hey, the guy that you want to start is no longer here anymore. You're going to have to adjust your rotation a bit. And I think that may be what's happening with the Utah Jazz. Zach Lowe of Grantland has been alluding to some sort of not exactly communication, but emphasis differences between what the front office wants and what the coaching staff wants. And this could very well just be communication.
That makes sense, I think, or maybe it doesn't. I'm not sure. I mean, as far as the communication, the lack of communication or the communication break, yeah, I like Alec Burks. And you know what? He's kind of struggled a little bit at times. I think it's just finding that role. And that's so difficult, man, to find a role when you're young in the NBA and to find one amongst other young guys. I mean, that's got to be difficult. Now, Ty Corbin, though. What's the word around Utah? What's the word around Jazz fans? Are they fed up again with Ty Corbin, or what's the story with him? Is he gaining any favor? Because they're winning some games at least.
They are winning games, but the overriding perception is that he's putting the emphasis on getting wins over the emphasis of actually developing. At the beginning of the season, the general manager of Utah, Dennis Lindsay, set out three main points for the season that Tyrone Corbin would be evaluated on. And they were defense. Utah's like the worst team on defense. Discipline. Nobody seems to be making stupid errors or getting three in the key, so that's good. And the other one was development. And in order to get these wins, he is reverting more and more towards playing these veterans in contract years instead of favoring actual development and getting less wins. And that may be, his prerogative because he wants to coach again in the NBA, even if it's not with the Utah Jazz. So the best way to do that is try and coax a few wins out of such a mismatched roster. I think that Dennis Lindsay, they were like, well, we have these guys who are expensive rookies. They're not second rounders. These are lottery guys. We're not getting any bang for our buck. You should be developing them. And Ty's like, well, I may not even be with the team anymore, so I've got to, get my wins and try and improve my resume. I think that's what the main conflict is, and fans are quite divided on that. Some see the wins as a product of Tyrone Corbin's improvement as a coach, and he has improved a little bit. Others see it as a distinct, he's not with the program, we need to move ahead. Exacerbating all of this is the fact that Jeff Hornacek, who was a longtime assistant with the Jazz, just won Coach of the Month with the Phoenix Suns as a rookie coach. So it's not all good in Utah when it comes to the coaches.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm the coach, I'm going to try to win to keep my job. I mean,
Or to get a job with another team. Exactly.
that's just the bottom line because you have to take care of yourself. And speaking of players of the month and NBA awards for the month, big shout out to Trey Burke. He is the rookie of the month for December. Boy,
For
I
the
play.
Western Conference,
For the
yeah,
Western
nice.
Conference, excuse me. I was trying to even give him for the whole NBA, because I have to get the boo birds off my back. You remember what happened this summer, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, back in the summer when I even thought Trey was going to struggle, and I think part of that was just looking at the tail of the tape a little bit too much. The bottom line is that he's a basketball player, and basketball players, when given that identity, that role that you talked about, I think he was able to assert, hey, this is what I'm doing, and this is what made me successful, and I'm going to do it here at the NBA level. The other guys on the Utah Jazz that are young, perhaps they're all a little bit too passive and flexible. They're like, oh, well, if you want to be the ball handler, I won't ball handle. Or if you want to be the guy that gets the rebounds, I'll play defense. And I think a lot of that is happening because, like you said, they don't actually have roles. Trey Burke was the starter from day one. In theory, he did get injured, so he came off the bench for 2 or 3 games. But he's the only one who's got that defined role, and he's thriving. You know, he's scoring points, he's got the ball in his hands, and he looks like a basketball player, which is more than he looked like in the summer league.
Yeah, he looks pretty good, man. I have to give him that. I have to give him his props. He's still a little bit inconsistent at times, but then he's a rookie, for goodness sakes. And these are things that are going to happen, no question about that. But there's so many bright spots here, and Utah has 11 wins this week. Now, this week, back to this possible trade. This could happen this week because on Friday, the Utah Jazz visit the Cleveland Cavaliers, but I don't know if it really is going to matter when they pull the trigger. I think they have to pull it by what, January the 15th?
Yeah, just so that they can still waive the contract at an appropriate time. I agree. It's not urgent, but it needs to get done if it's going to get done. And if it doesn't get done, it's not going to change the course of the season.
No, of course it won't. Wouldn't it be something? We've got about 2.5 minutes here. We've already burned up the first segment of the show, but it's good stuff. Amar, what do you think happened with Andrew Bynum? You think it's just a matter of he's had these surgeries, he's in a lot of pain, and he just doesn't want to deal with it anymore? Amar, what do you think happened with Andrew Bynum? Because 2 seasons ago, I thought he was the second coming of Wilt Chamberlain. Is it the knees and he doesn't want to go through the pain? What is it? What do you think is with him?
I think that there's probably two things. The bigger one, the most reasonable one, is that big men, when they get successive injuries to their lower body, their legs and their feet, it's harder. You're kind of on borrowed time. That's what happened to Yao Ming. That's what happened to Bill Walton. Bynum, he had injuries as a 17-year-old in high school before he even came to the NBA. So I can imagine that there's repetitive stress and it's just physically not 100% down there. And as a bigger guy, you have much more weight, you've got bigger bones, there's more force that you have to contend with each time you run, each time you jump, each time you do anything. So part of it could be his body. I think the bigger thing, unfortunately, is that he doesn't strike me as a guy who is in love with the game of basketball. He's probably doing it because, okay, it's fun to dunk and beat up on kids in high school, but busting his butt every day, setting screens and getting fouled, that's probably not what he wants to do as an adult, especially as a guy who's already been given the millions back when he was in his early 20s. He may not really want to play this game anymore. And part of that is injuries, part of that is personality.
You know what? I completely agree. I think it is. I think it's part of it is he just doesn't like to play it very much. And that's what people who know him say. And it's a pity because, man, that kid had a lot of talent. Still has a lot of talent. I thought his comeback this season was going pretty well, but apparently it wasn't or isn't. Anyway, great stuff. Amar, first half of the show is up. We'll be right back. And when we do, we're going to talk more NBA hoops. And we're going to have a lot of fun. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return after these brief messages.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Do you know your fantasy sports? Would you like to make money at it? DraftStreet.com and The Phil Nason Show would like to help you get started making money playing fantasy sports today. And we'll even give you the chance to get started making money today for free. On me. That's right. All you have to do is head on over to PhilNasons.com or visit the show notes for this show. Click the Draft Street image at the top of the page and start making money playing fantasy sports at DraftStreet.com today.
riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well, I think it probably comes from porn as well. You know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Talk radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
Brewtown Sports is your source for Brewers news and notes. Join Mr. Brewtown as he keeps you up to date on all the happenings of your Milwaukee Brewers and Major League Baseball. Follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, Brewtown Sports. Listen 24/7 at brewtownsports.podomatic.com.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out baseballpodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcasts.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nasons show here. See you there at baseballpodcasts.net.
CosmicRadio.com.
Hi, this is Gary Mack of Mets Musings, and I hope you'll join me each and every week as I recap all of the comings and goings-on in New York Mets baseball. I'll have guests on from all across Mets Nation giving their insights and analysis on the New York Mets. And you can follow me on Twitter at MetsMusings1, as well as on Facebook. Group name is Mets Musings. So tune in weekly to the Mets Musings, available at MetsMusings.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes.com, iHeartRadio, and of course, BaseballTalkRadio.com, the home of great baseball talk shows.
Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nasons Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nasons Show.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now, back to the Phil Nasons Show.
Welcome back to the Phil Nasons Show, and joining me once again for the rest of the hour from SLCDunk.com, Amar is in the house. Amar, we talk about fans here. Sometimes you and I, we've tried to encourage fans and lobbed a couple of grenades at the occasional blowhard fan. But there was some issue here with Mike D'Antoni over in L.A. He says, I made a mistake because he got on some fan, eh?
Yeah, no, he felt like the team was – things are not going right in L.A., and the last thing that he felt the team needed was the fans being overly negative. And he kind of felt like, hey, if you're with us, be with us. If you don't want to, if you want to be that type of fan, in quotation marks, then you should find another team to root for. And he did right by apologizing, because I think he made that faux pas by, you know, being a little bit too emotional. I guess we put these notable people, these visible people on higher pedestals, like players and coaches and front office people. So if he was just a regular schlub, he could say that no problem. But because he was the head coach of a basketball team, he had to apologize. And I think it was a smart move on his part.
Yeah, I didn't think he had a choice, really. You know, I understand where he's coming from, though, because if any coach is maligned in the NBA, it's him. He catches it everywhere he goes, and it's unfortunate. But, you know, telling the fans to find another team to root for, I don't know. You know, the problem is they get these microphones jammed in their face after tough losses, and they say things. And you know what? Sometimes these fans are over the top, giving guys the finger right in front of their face because they know no one's going to be able to do anything to them. Yeah, but still, you know, you can't really tell people to go do that. I've done that here on this show, though. I've told them if they don't like it, go somewhere else. Don't write me nasty letters, man.
It's a very, very tough situation. It's, like you said, the fans are there are just more fans, and there's a little bit of anonymity there. We no longer live in fear of Ron Artest charging into the stands and punching people. So fans do get away with a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff is very negative. But at the same time, I think, you know, you can be a Lakers fan and be able to properly contextualize your disappointment or some of your criticisms. But if you're just being mean, then I don't think that's necessarily cool at all. I don't know if D'Antoni had much choice in how he reacted, because like you said, it's the heat of the moment, you're angry, you lost, and people are giving you crap. In Utah, that's the same thing. There are some fans who are very, very loyal to whatever the team does, supports them through the good and the bad. It's all very nice. It's a fairy tale relationship. But at the same time, some of those fans fail to recognize that there are flaws that with what the Jazz are doing or how they're performing or even what their front office is trying to sell you. And the opposite side are there are other fans who are very critical but feel like, hey, I love the team enough that I want the team to get better. And the other side is that I love the team enough, no questions asked. And ultimately, it's up to each fan to decide what type of fan they want to be. And I don't think you can tell another person how to be a fan. You know, don't hold other people to your standards, because, you know, you don't do that with, oh, you know, he's getting a cheeseburger instead of the pita. How dare he? I hate this guy. No, you can't. You can't put value judgments on such superficial things on what type of sports team they like and how they like them.
But they do. And you know what? LA is another one of those franchises that's pretty spoiled.
Yeah, definitely.
They've had a lot of success over the years. That fan base has seen a lot of things. And, well, this is hardly a very good basketball team, to be honest with you.
It's a disappointing season. It is, and I guess the bottom line is that with Lakers fans in Southern California, there's so many other things that they could do when the going gets tough. You know, it's beautiful there, and, you know, if you're an outdoors guy, you can go to the beach and catch the waves and look at some pretty people. But other places, like in the Midwest of America or the East Coast, you live and die with your team through the good and the bad, and in the bad times, you're more vocal. And I think this is probably the first time that these Hollywood people are getting a chance to feel that.
You know, the Lakers cheered them up when they lost their acting gigs.
Yeah.
And when they were on the outs. And they kept them in the spotlight, too, you know. But they could always root for the Clippers. But even then, Chris Paul out now. What is going to happen, with the Clippers?
See, that's like without someone to spoon feed their bigs, it kind of makes the entire team less reliable. They're going to have to try and use Jamal Crawford a bit more. They never got the rest of their guys with the program this year. Anton Jameson, J.J. Redick, Dudley. These guys all are spot-up guys who rely on triple penetration. It sucks for them, especially because they got rid of Bledsoe this offseason. So, and the reason why you need a guy like Bledsoe with the Clippers is because you know that Chris Paul is going to lose some time to injuries. And if you're trying to be a top three team in any conference, and if you can't bank on health, you have to bank on redundancy. And I don't think the Clippers have that. So we may actually see them struggle to stay within the Western Conference elite. You know, they may even go down to number five during this period or lower.
Well, that could easily happen. Look at the Grizzlies without Marcus Gasol, but boy, oh boy. Derek Collison's going to be okay for that team, though. I think he's handled himself well. And now this is Sunday night we're recording this, but I think he's handled himself well in the two games that he's been at the helm. And I think he's going to be okay, but he's not Chris Paul. And that's no knock against Darren Collison. He's just not Chris Paul.
Yeah, and he used to play this role back when Chris Paul used to get hurt in New Orleans. He was the backup there as well. And I think he'll tread water, but at the same time, I don't think he's the type of guy that's going to make the other players as good as Chris Paul does. And as a result, that's going to have a negative effect. And like you said, it's no knock on Collison. I know that he's capable of changing the course of games. He can get out and transition. He's pretty good at penetrating. I'm not necessarily convinced that he's going to be able to get the other guys going, though, which makes the Clippers a much easier team to defend.
You know what? That's well put. You know, we wanted to do this last week when this was more of a story, but I guess it still is. What do you think of this proposal? And I believe it was our friend over at Grantland who broke that story too, Zach Lowe, where they're going to do away with the lottery as it is in order to hopefully eliminate tanking by having a wheel where it goes like 1, 29, 19, 7, 6, and around it goes in a 30-year cycle. What do you think about that wheel?
I think that it's a pretty... it's a mathematical representation that makes things a little bit more equal across the board. I think that was the primary intent. The idea, which does not get resolved, the whole reason why they even tried this was to eliminate tanking. But any team, any franchise is going to try and exploit whatever rules are currently there in order to get the most benefit. So if you, let's just say hypothetically, you eliminated tanking, teams would focus their strategies for developing and building and player acquisition in another direction. So then it would cause people to say, oh, well, we have to fix this new problem that we didn't know about. So I don't know if fixing tanking will ever happen. I don't know, but this wheel is pretty interesting. I'm not entirely convinced that that's the best idea. And I actually looked at some of the stuff, some of the history of the NBA. This year will be the 30th year of the NBA draft lottery as we currently know it. So in the previous 29 years, the worst team has only won it once. And you could stretch that to two times if you include there was a coin flip one year. And while the players that they did draft with that number one pick were able to take their teams to an NBA Finals five different times, two times out of 29 is not a big enough number to say that, see, teams play worse and they get rewarded for it. It's not the case. Every year there's a worst team in the league. And again, only two of those years, the worst team in the league got the best player, theoretically. So I don't know if the current draft situation needs to be changed. If they do it, it would be interesting when they do it. The article by Zach said that they were going to have to do it after all if the current deals are done. But if you do make this change, you have to make other changes as well, because you're going to need to make changes to the collective bargaining agreement, because the length of contracts are going to have to change accordingly. Because let's say that you do get that number one draft pick. By the time that you rotate over to getting a guaranteed number two draft pick will be the 11th season for that first draft pick. So if you're planning on building through the draft, and let's say you're not good at picking after the top five, you really have your goose cooked that you have to be able to retain this number one guy so that, okay, he's kind of on the downside of his physical career, but his mental abilities should still be there. Now we're going to prop him up with another guy that we're going to build with. It's really tough. And you're going to miss out on some of these magical situations that happen, like with the Thunder. They got Kevin Durant, then they got Russell Westbrook, then they got James Harden, and in that same James Harden draft, they scouted really well and got Serge Ibaka. That's how you quickly build after being really bad. And the Seattle Supersonics were really bad for a number of years. They deserved these draft picks because of how bad they were. If you kind of level the playing field, you give the benefit to the teams that are always good, and you make more jobs for teams to always stock their scouting departments. But for the teams that really do need it, you're actually hurting them. You're making the poor poorer for the sake of saying that, oh, well, this eliminates tanking. Teams are always going to try and find an advantage, especially when there's a once-in-a-generation player available. What this does is it doesn't even talk about, are you allowed to trade draft picks? Because that's a big part of today's trade landscape. So anyway, that's a huge run-on sentence. I'm sorry about that.
Well, that's okay. We're not grading you, so it's all
Yeah, good. I'm on that blogger wheel right now. Next week, I'll be on the 30th best podcast instead of the first. So.
Yeah, well, you'll still be here anyway, even if you're at number 30. But you know what I was just thinking? What does that do to expansion? If they enact this wheel, does that mean that's going to be it? Because that's going to alter it if they add two teams or three teams or four teams. They're going to have to make other allowances for those teams, adding numbers and bumping everybody around. So then it'll be 7 years, 8 years, 9 years. So it's going to be very strange. I don't see how they can pull this off. Obviously, the lottery as it is, there probably could be a better system, but it's the one they have. And I'm not so sure yet, really, if I'm in favor of it or not. I haven't heard anything more recently about it. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of issues there, and it won't take place until after you and I are retired. So I guess it won't really matter much to us.
Yeah, and that whole 30-year period is the main problem, that in order for it to be fair, it has to go through 3 decades of basketball. And like you're saying, there's going to be no changes to the NBA in 3 decades. They're not going to expand. They're not going to contract. What happens if something really bad happens and you have to make adjustments? I remember when the NBA did expand and brought the Raptors and Grizzlies in, because it was just too weird of a situation, they had to be put in a situation where they could not get higher than the number 5 draft pick, because some of these other teams that were really bad the year that they were joining the league, they would be bumped away. And like you said, people are going to be mad no matter what happens, that, oh, well, I was supposed to get the number 1 draft pick next year, but because I was bumped, now I have to wait another extra season. And by that time, that's going to cause trouble with my cap or something. So I don't like the wheel. I think that it's a nice approximation of how to make things even. It will attempt to get rid of tanking, but like I said, teams are always going to try and find a way to find an advantage. And I think that this is gladly going to be voted down. They need 3/4 approval by the competition committee. And if we're going to go to the competition committee, let's actually get them to do something. If there are cases where you can actually fine teams for obviously tanking, if you could prove it, that's better than changing the entire system that people rely on right now.
Good stuff there, my friend. Now, Zach Lowe also wrote, and this is on Christmas Eve, and Amar and I were going to talk about this, where he gave his Western Conference power rankings. And under Talk to Us Next Season, he has Utah, Sacramento, and that's it for there. And I guess he's right. You know, Utah and Sacramento are like 1 and 1A as far as teams that are having issues.
Yeah, but to put it politely, they're not competitive teams. They're not competitive rosters. And more than likely, they're not even going to be competitive rosters next season after they get their coveted draft pick, whatever draft pick number that is. Sacramento's got a new coach. Utah's going to have a new coach next year as well. I think both of these teams are works in progress, and it's tough for the fan bases to stomach because the fan bases remember the good old days. Those days are gone.
That makes sense. Now, under sort of boringly bad, he's got the Lakers at number 13, Memphis Grizzlies at number 12, the New Orleans Pelicans at number 11. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'll tell you what, I think that he's just... You know, the problem here is that the West is so strong and so deep. I don't think being number 11 is like a disparaging thing. I mean,
yeah, I would be happy if we could realign the conferences and divisions and put New Orleans in the East. You know, that would just make so much more sense because they're in the same time zone as me. But yeah, I think that with the Lakers in Memphis, it's injury related why they're a little bit lower than they should be. I think in a perfect world, they both could be competing for a playoff spot. They may when people get healthy. The Pelicans, on the other hand, I think it's just their pace of play. If they sped it up a bit, they'll be a lot more fun to watch, especially with their diversity they bring on offense.
That's good stuff. And the Pelicans, you know what? They did okay without Anthony Davis, but now they've got other injuries to worry about. And Ryan Anderson, that's not a good thing, man. What do you have any update on him or?
Well, I haven't checked it out in a while, and I kind of felt bad because he was injured to start the season. He came back, and he's injured again, and that's kind of what also happened with Mr. Eyebrows as well, but or Eyebrow singular.
Unibrow. And I think,
yeah, they need to get healthy because it's kind of like if you have an inside presence but you can't spread the floor around him, then he's going to suck. If you have an outside shooter but you have no inside guy to worry about, then he's going to suck. These guys really need each other for that inside-outside game. And, you know, hopefully they get healthy at the same time and stay healthy because otherwise those three, you know, ball handlers are going to just kill each other with Drew, Gordon, and Tyreek.
The Pelicans are Tyson Chandler away from a contention.
Or like a, you know, LeBron, but yeah. So
yeah, okay, maybe a LeBron. Okay, now he's got here. Pick names out of a hat. Number 10, the Denver Nuggets. The number 9 team, the Dallas Mavericks. And the Minnesota Timberwolves at number 8. I think he's got the Timberwolves ranked a little higher than they should. I think he's got Denver ranked a little too high as well. I like Dallas about out of the three better than I like the other two teams.
Yeah, if this was the end of the season and these were the three teams fighting for that last playoff spot, that would be pretty interesting, I think. Particularly because, I guess, with Dallas, they're all in for the playoffs. Minnesota, you know, they've had really bad luck the last few seasons with injuries or GM stupidity, but I think they're really itching for the playoffs as well. And Denver has always been a little bit surprising because they actually have made the playoffs the last few years despite trading away Carmelo Anthony. You know, when Utah traded Deron Williams, they've never been to playoffs except for that one year where they jumped from 12th to 8th because teams ahead of them were tanking. So I'm not necessarily sold on all three of these as contenders, but as playoff hopefuls, definitely.
Like I said, I think Dallas has a better shot out of the three. I didn't have a whole lot of hope for Denver. I still don't. Rubio's hurt again or something's wrong with him. They're not sure what it is. And without Chase Budinger, they're going to have problems.
Yeah, well, I think if you're a team that relies on, what was his name, Corey Brewer, then you're obviously not, you know, going to be amazing no matter what. And like we said earlier in the offseason, Love may be probably itching for a trade. So we'll see how that progresses.
And that could happen, actually, over there, I think. But
yeah.
Corey Brewer a year ago was almost out of the league, and now he found himself a big money thing. Now, here we go. Listen to this. Number 7, he says, looking good for playoff spots, but he's got the Phoenix Suns here at number 7, the Golden State Warriors at number 6. Ah, geez. You know, I really like both these teams. I like their enthusiasm. They're fun to watch. Do I like them as playoff teams? And we're going to take a really good look tomorrow at the Golden State Warriors. A close look with Zeb Benbrook. He's a big fan of them. He follows them religiously, and he's a good writer, so we're going to have him do that with me. But what do you like about these two teams, Phoenix and Golden State? And Phoenix is supposed to be tanking, right?
Yeah, Phoenix was supposed to be the worst team in the West, and for whatever reason, they're like, no, screw that. We're trying to win games. And that's a testament probably to Jeff Hornacek's positive attitude. He's actually supposed to be a really good communicator, and he has all of his players on the same page. Golden State, a lot of people were goo-goo-gaga about them, but they had some bad injuries early on. But they're kind of riding the ship right now. As a Jazz fan, it would be probably better for Phoenix to make it and Golden State not to make it, because Utah owns Golden State's unprotected lottery pick this year. But it's going to be hard for Phoenix to keep it up, I think. Hornacek is going to probably hit that rookie wall as a coach. Some of his players are going to get injured. He's been a little bit lucky right now because they haven't had to rely on Alex Len at all, and their two-point guard thing seems to be working so far. But Golden State is a much better team. They reloaded. They've got a lot of young guys, and their offense is fun and gets them a lot of points. They may not win in the playoffs, but they should be able to outscore a lot of teams to at least get 50 wins this year if they're healthy.
Makes sense. Now, he has just played solid. Houston, Portland, and the Clippers, this before that injury. And then a notch above, the San Antonio Spurs at number 2 and the Oklahoma City Thunder at number 1. Russell Westbrook is out now. I got to give the notch above to the San Antonio Spurs, don't you?
Yeah, it always seems to go back to San Antonio, and our good friends at Pounding the Rock are like, yeah, well, duh, we already knew that. I'm not sold on Houston because Dwight Howard's still a nutcase, and their point guard situation is unresolved, and I'm not so certain. You know, they take a lot of threes. Their rebounding needs to be better to support that. Westbrook being out really hurts them. Oklahoma City, and you know, Kendrick Perkins is probably one of the worst starters in the history of basketball. So like, there's flaws with all of these other teams. Like you said, the Clippers, they got injured just now with Chris Paul. The best team in the West, and you know, on paper right now in the standings, people are saying Portland, but until a team beats the Spurs in the playoffs, the Spurs are still number one. And that's the way that it should be, because they were the best team last year and they went to the NBA Finals and were a Ray Allen shot away from winning another ring.
Yeah, absolutely. Or a rebound or a made free throw by Manu Ginobili and they win that thing.
But, or maybe having Tim Duncan out on the floor for whatever reason.
Yeah exactly. But we've got about 20 seconds left. Portland, they haven't been to a playoff since 2001. So we have to see. And this team hasn't been to a playoff yet as a team. So let's not put them in the finals just yet. Amar, great stuff today. Thank you so much for being on the show with me, man.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And I'm going to stay put, so I'll be available whenever. No more hotel rooms, no more airports.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that. We'll see you next week. That was Amar. And you can find him over at slcdunk.com. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. Special thanks to Amar for being here, talking a lot of hoops, made a lot of sense. Tomorrow, we're going to talk more hoops. Aaron Stampler will be here. Zeb Benbrook will be here. We'll look at the Spurs. We'll look at the Warriors. And we'll look at some other things around the league. Until then, you all take care of yourselves. Be good. And most importantly, thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.